When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro. The chance where your dink isn't perfect. Well, we're going to get a chance to see that dink at the Beach Bash. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
I would like to lodge a formal complaint.
Are you staring at your mouse?
He's staring right at my mouse.
You bet I am, and you like it. Our amazing producers. How about RJ Santillo?
Ilya Yabushkin.
The very handsome Raymond Santiago.
I've made a conscious effort not to.
Of course you have. Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776. Dave is clearly busy. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Not to pump our own tires.
But I will toot our own horn. Yankees dropped the final game of their series with the Marlins. That's Miami's second win of the season. Yankees head to Cleveland for a three-game set that starts on Friday. Mets were postponed down in Atlanta. Kodai Senga was put on the 60-day IL. The Knicks clinched the playoff spot with Miami's loss to Dallas. They're back in action tonight in Boston against the Celtics team that has pretty much most of their team listed as questionable to play. We have some Aaron Rodgers sound that RJ was laughing about this morning. The Masters gets underway this morning. Defending champion John Rahm is scheduled to tee off at 10:30. Scottie Scheffler, 10:42. He's in a group with Rory McIlroy. Tiger Woods this afternoon at 1:24. We have the now pumpkin pie free Mel Kiper at 7 a.m. And as always on the Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation that didn't happen in Florida. A big time station ID at 8. RJ's world famous bleep you missed around 9:15. But before we get to all of that, there's a man threatening the well-being of not only the Rothenberg estate.
You know what it's like in my house? The Wild West.
But this very station.
We've got to pay the fiddler.
I'm wrong, but your attack is wrong. If you're going to attack me, you need to re-aim your missiles.
Luckily for us, a hero has emerged.
I got Bill Arpus just walking around.
And his sidekick.
Wine connoisseur.
Who is this Bill Arpus?
I'm the fat second thought of the station.
How will you defeat this evil? Could be fiddler or kiddler. We're not really sure.
You can think about my wife with George Clooney.
Well, I don't love our chances. Here he is, my Huckleberry, Dave Rothenberg.
That's nice. That had everything, really. I had a little sports flavor. It had comedy. It had drops. That was nice. Good for you.
I'm a little upset.
Why?
Because I had to. We got through that whole thing.
Yeah.
Took
Tara
a while.
Reed and her bosom popping out.
Yeah, we left that out. Did not know how to fit that in.
You have to fit that in.
I understand
that. The man called the bosom.
I know.
Tara Reid and her bosom popping out.
I didn't know how to get that into it.
Yeah, but just throw it in.
I know, but he had two good ones. The conscious effort and then the
connoisseur.
The connoisseur and then the bosom. Yeah. Well,
the bosom is such a good one.
It's
though.
Evergreen, though. That's not going anywhere.
The bosoms can stand on their
forever.
Own.
Yeah. Right. Forever. I mean,
yeah, there's no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with someone involved in the group text last night. One of the five of us. I was like, come on, really?
Who? I don't know.
John Winthrop.
Well, that didn't surprise
me.
Well,
because the group text was, Knicks have now clinched a playoff spot. Oh, stop. Who cares?
Well, they did.
I get that, but that doesn't interest me. That I was not like, oh, we're teetering on getting into the postseason or not. I knew they were going to be a playoff team.
Well, I mean, what are your expectations for him in the group chat? I mean, he is the same guy who decided that it was a good idea to text us the brooms.
I'll never get over the brooms.
Never.
No.
You can't get up from that.
No. That
was awful. I don't have real high expectations for what's what's coming on that group chat from Winthrop.
Like, if he had texted, Knicks locked in the three, Knicks can be no worse than the five, he'd be like, oh, you know what? That's newsworthy. That's informative. Knicks are a playoff team. I knew the Knicks were going to be a playoff team. That moved the needle none for me that he put that in the group text last night.
No, the needle did not move at all. But listen, he wants to be involved. I mean, hell, he's answering all the questions. I mean, the man has unlimited knowledge.
He does have a lot of knowledge.
A lot of knowledge.
A lot. Whatever topic we get to, he has a lot of knowledge. Speaking of a lot of knowledge, Mel Kiper Jr. on the show this morning, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Now, RJ told me, I didn't know this. Yesterday, the mock draft we rifled through that Mel put out, that's the last one he's going to do.
I heard.
He will not do another one. So we have that. We'll go into battle with that. And there's something that Mel, not that it's his fault, but he's starting to kind of push the narrative. I don't like it all.
All right, get on him.
No. He didn't do anything wrong.
Well, he's pushing a narrative, you said.
He's pushing an idea. Well, I'll just tell you, we'll get into it later. I don't want to get into a lot now, that the Giants are going to go after Bo Nix.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what he has. Not right, only go after him, trade up for him.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I don't want Bo Nix.
I wouldn't suspect that you would like that.
Yeah, I don't want Bo Nix, so I'm not okay with that.
You're actually hearing, I've heard from, so this was Mel's last mock, apparently, and first time we're seeing him have Giants going up to get Bo Nix. I actually initially saw Bo Nix, we both did, going to Denver.
Yeah, I'd seen that.
Because there's a lot of people that say, hey, you know, he's got tons of college experience and doesn't have a great arm, but great command of an offense would work well with Sean Payton.
Right. So let me ask you this, and then we'll get to the Yankees. That was a rough loss for the Yankees. But again, they're playing so well, it's not the end of the world, certainly. Because I've said it a million times, I'm like, well, if they take Drake Mayer, they take J.J. McCarthy, whoever they take, I believe in Shane and Dable to the point that I can live with whoever they wind up taking. Do I let that extend all the way out to Bo Nix? Or because I'm not a fan of Bo Nix, do I have to sit here and say, I don't like that pick, despite these guys who I do trust going and taking Bo Nix? Therein lies the question.
Well, I think you can be both. You cannot prefer Bo Nix, but I think recognize that Brian Dable is smarter than us, or should be.
No, is.
Is, and there's something that he likes about him and can work with him. And you lean on the fact that he's worked with Josh Allen, you know, what he did down in Alabama. Like, he's had a really good track record working with quarterbacks.
Do you believe...
Even what he did with Tommy DeVito.
Every quarterback he's ever touched becomes considerably better. Do you believe that one of these six quarterbacks will be a member of the Giants 2 weeks from today?
I was thinking about that on the drive-in this morning. And it was not an easy drive because for whatever reason this morning, you know, Rick was not really functioning properly.
Really?
Like, to the point where I walked downstairs and I still had my toothbrush in my mouth. No joke.
Wait, you walked downstairs and your toothbrush was still in your mouth?
I walked downstairs, so I was going to get a couple sips of a Celsius to get me going.
Right.
Because I was going to jump on the arc for a little cardio and still had my toothbrush in my mouth.
Interesting. And then you decide to drive yourself right in.
Right into the city.
Not your toothbrush out of your mouth.
Oh, and I saw a 18-wheeler on fire.
Fire?
On fire. Mm. Like the beginning stages of a huge problem.
That's exciting.
No, it was not exciting.
Where was that?
It was on the LIE.
Oof.
Coming in.
On the road or is over to the side?
Right over to the side, but it was
the starts of something serious.
It was getting bad.
So, all right, so toothbrush out of your mouth, LIE, take the... right past the 18-wheel, right, yep, which is on fire. And what were your thoughts about one of these six quarterbacks?
What my thoughts were was, I wonder if any of these kind of top-of-the-draft quarterbacks slide. That was my initial thought, because it feels like we always have...
Which would probably only be May or McCarthy, right?
No, it feels like Caleb Williams is going one,
that,
and
he's
Daniels
going one.
Is going two.
Yes.
And then, depending on what the Patriots want to do. I just don't understand, if you're the Patriots, how you don't draft a quarterback with a third overall pick.
Right.
Unless you get a deal you can't say no to from whoever it is, Minnesota, maybe even the Giants, whatever it ends up being. So that was my initial thought.
Because if you like the quarterback and you need a quarterback, even if they offer you the sun and moon, you have to kind of stick with what it is you need to do.
They also need a lot.
They do need a lot.
They need a lot. Well, that's everyone's argument. Why shouldn't the Giants draft the quarterback at six? Well, they need a lot. Well, doesn't that start with the quarterback, though?
Once you have the quarterback, needing a lot becomes a lot easier. When you have the quarterback that's really good, all of a sudden, all these blemishes and problems with your team look a lot better. Like, a bad offensive line doesn't look so bad when the quarterback's good. Mediocre receivers are better than mediocre when the quarterback's really good. I mean, you see what the good quarterbacks are capable of doing.
A really poorly run organization all of a sudden now looks like a very functional organization.
I.e. the Cincinnati Bengals.
How about the Houston Texans?
Yes.
They were a dumpster fire.
It can happen like that. So, all right. Is that what you're thinking about?
Those were my initial thoughts.
Right.
And then knowing that we would be talking about the Giants today, I have a hard time believing that they don't find a way to get a quarterback.
I think they're going to take a quarterback.
I mean,
first round, second round.
What a perfect situation would be is that, you know, Daniel Jones had stayed healthy, was really good, and you're not even worrying about this. Like, this is even a question. And you continue to build with Daniel Jones because he was the sixth overall pick. But that didn't happen. He got hurt. Now you have the sixth overall pick. And the way that Joe Shane structured his deal, you have a chance to get out from under this after this season. So you have him that you're already paying $40 million that can play.
Right.
You brought in Drew Luck, who's a more than capable backup. So there's no real rush to play a young kid. So for all those people that want to call in and say, you can't throw a young kid with this
team.
Well, you don't have to. That's the beauty of this situation. If one of your greatest strengths as a coach was your ability to develop a quarterback and work with a quarterback, I would want the opportunity to be...
I agree.
...to pick my guy.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I do. All right, so we'll get back to the draft. Of course, Mel at 7 o'clock. Mets rained out yesterday. Last night was a light night in sports for us locally.
Finally.
And I was like, whew, this is great. I mean, Yankees game over well before 10 o'clock. I was able to get to bed at a reasonable hour because tonight... Today, very busy. You got Mets, Braves, a little nooner. Rangers, Flyers. Rangers need this win. Devils, Leafs. Well, that's kind of an irrelevant game. Islanders and Canadians.
Well, you're still looking to see if Austin Matthews can score 70.
Okay, but in the grand scheme.
I'm just saying for hockey fans.
Listen, nothing is actually irrelevant.
No Jack Hughes. He's getting surgery, but I mean.
In the grand scheme of relevance of these games, that would be the one that has the least amount of relevance.
I understand that. I'm just saying. If you love hockey.
Okay, I get anything has relevance. All right. Anything has relevance.
Willie Nylander. I mean,
no, I understand, but I'm sure that there are dozens, hundreds, thousands of Willie Nylander fans listening saying, that's not irrelevant. All right, Islanders, Canadians, great relevance. Islanders need to win that game. And then the Knicks and the Celtics, which is great relevance, and I'd like some information. What are the Celtics going to do?
Everyone's questionable.
Just give me two guys out.
Here's another thing I was thinking about on my walk from the parking garage.
You do a lot of deep thought in the morning with you. That's
the show.
Nice.
We need content. Do you think that there's any chance that Boston would have all these guys just sit out tonight? I mean, everyone's questionable. Someone's going to have to play. But, I mean, you had no Horford or KP the other night.
Right.
Now everyone's listed as questionable. Did a little piece of Boston says to themselves, why not let the Knicks win? Isn't it better for us if the Knicks finish second or third?
And then we don't play them till the
Eastern Conference Finals.
But you think they're worried about the Knicks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's something you have to think about. Like, which team has the potential to knock us off? If one of those teams is the Knicks, hey, we're trying to rest guys anyway. We're trying to get to the
playoffs.
You're
not going to have to worry about Milwaukee, right? They win last night. They're not going to wind up outside of the three. That might be the one team, if Giannis is healthy, gets back to healthy, that you wouldn't want to play otherwise. I mean, Philly might be one of those teams. You know what's interesting to me is there's a chance that Boston could get Philly or Miami in round one. Like, a real chance of
that. Right. I'm just saying, like, there's a better chance. Like, why not let someone else... Like, why not have the Knicks or Milwaukee have to go two rounds before we have to see them?
Maybe.
Let someone else do their
I would think that they probably look at it like, we don't care. We're going to do what's completely best for us. And if that's resting or playing Tatum or whatever we want to do, that's what we're going to do. But, yeah, I mean, I guess there's some validity to it. And then the Yankees last night, again, you can't freak out. You didn't lose the series. But, I mean, that Marlins team is bad. And you thought going into that game.
Second win.
You thought going into that game, you got Stroman on the mound, you're going to win this game. And the Yankees, the bats were non-existent for quite some time. Oh, the umpiring was brutal.
Awful.
Again.
Awful.
I mean, some of those strike calls on Verdugo, where it's an embarrassment. I said this weeks ago, you're like, well, I don't want to take jobs away. Are we at the point where we can put the automated strike zone in, please?
I told you the other day.
I mean, the umpire's still behind there. He still will hold up the count. He's still going to be calling, you know, plays at the plate. He's not losing his job. It's ridiculous. And the thing that makes it the worst is that box. The box sitting there showing this ball wasn't even close.
Yeah, Verdugo last night. I mean, first one bad, and then finally Boone was like, okay, enough is enough. Because, I mean, you saw Verdugo look over like, hey, could somebody please say something?
And Boone's great about that.
I love when he comes out.
I love it, too. And the players must love it. Our coach completely has their
back.
The
umpires love him because I guess his nickname going around like the umpire circles was Karen Boone.
Because he's a big complainer.
Because he's always acting up.
Right.
Dude, how about, speaking of bad, and this is probably why they only have two wins now. Did you see when Sanchez just took off from second? Did you see that play?
Watch the game. I don't remember that play.
Right. So it was in the second inning.
Right.
Anderson's up. No outs. Sanchez is on second. Ball to right field to Soto.
Right.
Kind of a line drive, sinking line drive maybe, but there's no outs.
He's gone.
No, just took off. Just took off. They're like, does he think there's two outs? Like, gone.
Like, I was not watching the game at that point.
He takes a peek and he's...
So was the ball caught?
Of course it was caught.
So double play.
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Easy double play.
Yeah, that's the thing that drives you crazy.
Yeah, what are
we doing? Drives you crazy to any level. Like if a kid... So we're winning a game the other day. Ben's high school team. We're winning like 12-4. And they start to put the reserves in. Kid on second base. Two outs. Pop up to center field. He's tagging up. I'm just like, if I'm a coach, I lose my mind over that. I know you don't play all the time. There's two outs. When the ball is hit, you run. And he's just standing there on second, waiting to tag up.
A Vogelback did it the other day.
It's
hit in front of him on second, he takes off. Well, what are you doing? Like, you know that's
so
not...
So it's hit to short, and he... Oh, I saw that.
You saw it.
And he caught him in a pathetic rundown.
Yes.
Yeah. That was against the Yankees.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I brought it up. I'm like, what are you... Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. And that was a rundown treat. Right? He's like, I'm out.
Right.
I'm not getting involved in this.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Food cart out in front to get my tea this morning. He had these beautiful-looking bagels. And I thought about getting a bagel for the guys. And then I thought better of it because I didn't get my thank you yesterday. So I decided not to get anybody a bagel.
But a lot of thank yous in the meeting, though. A lot of thank yous.
Well, you know what? It's a necessary... phraseology.
Right. I think we've all learned.
I think so, too. Were you able to sleep last night, Ray, even though you didn't give me the thank you yesterday?
I did give you the thank you.
Well, you gave me the thank you after it was prompted.
I slept just fine.
Okay, good.
Man has no conscience.
No.
None.
No.
By the way,
I made a conscious effort not to.
By the way, too.
You've tried to get me fired repeatedly, and you're going to talk about my conscience.
That was not me. That was someone else. Tried to get you fired. I never tried to get you fired.
And that didn't work.
That's a
lie. Did not work.
That blew up right in his face.
Right in the face.
There you go after Raymond.
I did not flub the Thursday Open. When I said we have a chance to see Dave's, you know what, maybe at the Beach Bash, that's what I meant.
No, maybe. Yeah.
Have we announced that yet?
Well, I don't know.
Well, we did now.
Okay. Beach Bash will be more titillating because there'll be some
very
scantily cladness
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
Time now for the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. Kind of looked like the Yankees went through the motions a little bit, and then you have the home run from Berger, and then it even when they were down 4-0, I was like, they'll score two runs here and two runs there, and Weathers was hardly great, and he was not economical whatsoever, but the Marlins did enough to hang on and defeat the big bad Yankees last night.
Right, they had a chance at the end, right? I mean, you bring up Aaron Judge as the game-winning run.
Right.
With the bases
loaded. I thought he got that ball, actually, for a second. I was like, oh, God. And I was like,
no, he's struggling. Aaron Judge
right now is struggling.
I think the couple takeaways from last night was Stroman was, who's been really good, didn't have
his best stuff.
No, didn't have his best stuff, didn't have his command. He had he had that third inning, Berger with a big three-run home run.
Mm-hmm.
Volpe leading off, which I think for a lot of Yankees fans...
It's what they want to see.
Hope to see at some point.
Glaber doesn't look good.
Glaber does not. Well, that was the impetus to put Volpe up in the leadoff spot. It wasn't like, hey, this is where we feel like he's... You know, he belongs. Yeah, at some point he belongs there. Because I heard both sides of it. People were excited that Volpe was getting the opportunity to lead off. And other people were like, well, if it's, like, why now? If it's not, like, if it's not broke, like, he's playing so well, why screw around with it?
Right. But and if why you look long, because they must look long term and say he's going to be our leadoff
batter. Right, long term. But how long does this last? Because, I mean, the reason given was, it's because Glaber was pressing.
Right.
And we want to make sure we can get him going. I'm fine with, hey, Anthony Volpe is a guy that we envision as our leadoff guy. has done a great start to the season. This is why we want to put him as our leadoff hitter. I don't want to mess around with it, though.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, I mean, if that's what they envision long-term...
Long-term is not now. You're missing the point.
I understand what you're saying.
Let's get Glaber going, and then we're going to move Volpe back.
I don't want to do that either.
No, if this is...
if this is their plan for the future, let's just do it and be done with it. Yeah, now your leadoff batter is Anthony Volpe.
Right.
Yes,
right.
I agree with that.
Yeah, right. I don't want this back and forth. Like, hey, we wanted to get Glaber going, now we're going to move
Volpe
back.
No, Glaber can get going anywhere. He can get going in leadoff spot and get going in wherever they're going to be. Stanton looked decent again last night.
Well, I mean, Stanton's last five games, I got the number series, 8-for-19, 3 home runs and 7 RBI after a slow start. So you're in the midst of one of his hot streaks.
And I've said this many times in the past. It feels like every time Stanton hits a home run, it's like Yankees are up 8-1. That makes it 10-1. But last night, down 4-0, got them on the board. So, no. I mean, Stanton, other night, grand slam, right? Blows open the game. So Stanton has been much better. But tell me if you agree with this. And again, there's not a lot to pick on. But, like, it feels like when you get past the, I don't know, 5 spot, kind of really tails off of the Yankees lineup at the moment.
Well, Trevino
He can't really hit. Juiced one last night, but it was to the warning track,
right?
Yeah,
it was caught. He's well below 100.
Just I think not, he's one hit on the season.
Yeah, he's just offensively 0-56. He's just not a threat at all.
Right.
And
Verdugo's not been great.
No, and if he's not playing great defense, that's the thing. And I understand you want to go with when there's a left-handed pitcher, you want to go with Trevino. I mean, he was a guy who won a platinum glove. So if he's not going to play that caliber of defense, I mean, offensively, he really brings nothing to the table. The other thing that's noticeable now is some of the infield defense stuff. And, Anthony Rizzo has been known as a really good defensive first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Has not had a great defensive start to his
season. Well, he could have picked that ball from Volpe. Runs probably going to score there anyway, because that was good base running, actually. We talked about their bad base running, which they have off, and that was good base running there.
And Volpe kind of hesitated for a second.
And then he had to play, fourth-ish inning, or is it grounded to first? It might have been the inning they scored all the runs, actually. Grounded to first base. He butchered it, picked it up, still got him out.
Yeah,
but yes,
well,
you're right.
I think Stroman's a really good defensive pitcher.
Elite defensive pitcher.
And then he had the Olay the other day, went under his glove.
Right.
It's just not, you're used to seeing him make plays.
But again,
like that.
We are nitpicking. They are 10-3. They are leading the division. But this is not, nothing about this division is easy. There's not one. If Boston plays mediocre baseball, there's not a bad team in this division.
No, you're going to have your hands full. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Jackson Holliday just got called up.
Did you see how they called him up?
I did. I watched that video.
If they did more stuff like that is exactly what baseball needs. I tell you all the time why I love American Idol. I don't love that they go out there and sing. I mean, sure, it's great. But what I love is the stories and the relationships and the fact that my dad coached me to to sing since I was 2 years old, and now I'm, you know, 19 years old, and he just passed away. Like, those heartfelt stories, for me, are what make me interested in American Idol. I thought calling him in and videoing it and showing everyone that, you know, do you talk to your dad a lot about baseball? Did he let you in the clubhouse? Was he very involved? Yeah, he really was. Well, you know what? Now he's going to be your plus one in the clubhouse. I love stuff like that. That was great.
Yeah, it's a huge moment in your life. I mean, that's something he'll never forget ever. And I'm sure there was a piece of him was like, you know, expecting to be with the Orioles to start the season.
Right. I'm sure it was. It's not like a guy that's you know, been, you know, loitering around the minor leagues for 15 years and gets called up. But still, the moment was really cool.
I understand that. And that's something he'll remember for, you know, the rest of his life. I'm just saying, like, he is someone that a lot of people thought would start the season with the Baltimore Orioles. He thought he would start the season with the Baltimore Orioles. So he had to deal with the discipline of being sent down, handled it the right way, was pissed. You heard the coach in the video you're talking about.
You play the chip on your shoulder, yeah.
Right, which, you know, guys in the clubhouse appreciate. You want to go down, because a lot of guys that are, and he doesn't seem to be the type of kid that has a sense of entitlement, and he could.
Of course he could.
Right, he could.
From baseball, I don't know, royalty, but good baseball family.
Right, and he's the most highly regarded prospect in baseball right now?
Yes.
Right, so he gets sent down. There's a lot of guys that would sulk and feel bad for themselves. You're not pissed off, but pissed off in the wrong way. Like, screw these guys, they sent me down, and then you sulk, and you play like crap, and guys in the clubhouse are like, no, like, you listen, put your head up, work hard, and then when the time comes, you get called up.
And it took, what, not even 2 weeks?
Yeah, he's like, no, comes down, chip on his shoulder, plays great, and they call him up. And yeah, I've been a part of a moment like that. It's, now the Islanders, you know, we kind of messed it up because they brought, I had two left pads, and kind of screwed up the whole call-up.
You showed up to the call-up, and they gave you two of the same
pads? No, the equipment managers in Chicago, we brought two left pads to Kansas City. So when I got my first call-up,
Were you going to play?
I was supposed to play against Kansas City. Wasn't going to be able to because they only had two left pads.
Right.
Got the call-up, and then realized we only had two left pads, so they had to fly the right pad in from Chicago. I probably should have known at that point, like, I don't know how great this is going to turn out.
Here's Aaron Boone on the loss last night to Miami.
Gosh, I thought we competed really well all night. We didn't get the big hit tonight. You know, we had chances in the middle of the game where it looked like we were building something. They were able to get out of it, and then all the way to the end there. So, you know, just couldn't quite finish it off. But, you know, the purpose I've been talking about, man, you could feel that, and gave ourselves a chance there in the end.
So I heard, well, I don't want to say dumbest because there's a lot of dumb things going on there. But I was watching a show last night after the Yankees game, and Soto comes to the plate with two on and two outs, and he didn't swing the bat. How can he not swing the bat? If you don't go up there and you don't swing the bat, how could you possibly expect to be paid $50 million a year? These takes that people have are so mind-numbingly stupid. First of all, it's not like the pitcher was up next. You have Aaron Judge up next. If you walk, the tying run is now on base. I mean, if you would sign for the walk in a heartbeat. You want to keep the line moving. You want to put yourself in a position where Aaron Judge, who you adore. Now, if you want to say after, like, if Judge doesn't swing, they had taken Stanton out of the game, maybe that's an argument you want to have. But to pick on Soto for not swinging in that spot, I mean, do people even understand anything about the game of baseball?
It's who Juan Soto is. I mean, it's who he is.
But a walk was good.
Right, a walk was good. And it's not like he's going to, like, you're right. In that spot, if it's, you know, if it's Judge that takes the walk and now it's Juan Soto, recognizing that, you know, the options behind him aren't great, you know, maybe you expand your strike zone a little bit. Like, go up with the intent. Like, I have to end this.
Right.
But that's not who he is. That's not what he's going to do. And, oh, by the way, one of the best hitters in baseball is sitting there behind
him. Right. Now he'll have the bases loaded. Run. And a double now ties the game.
And you have to pitch to him.
You have no choice but to. And you did. And he got a good pitch to look at. And he flew out to center field.
See, that's the thing, though, man. I mean, you got no Gerrit Cole. Best pitcher in baseball, won the Cy Young last year. And you got one of the best players in baseball. Gerrit Cole has not contributed because he's hurt.
Right.
And Aaron Judge
has not been good.
Has not been good. And you're still 10-3.
You're still 10-3.
Yeah.
And you're still leading this division. This is a good division, man.
And Rodon has been good.
He has.
Outside of last night.
Stroman's
been very good.
I think
good.
Those are the first runs he's allowed this year, right?
Cortez was great in his last start.
Sure was.
And that's the benefit of the first two games of the series. You know, give your bullpen a little bit of a rest because, guys, you weren't getting the length that you needed. But now, day off, and you head to Cleveland. Go up against Cookie Carrasco.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is mean of me. I'm if he doesn't do well, I can live with that.
He's a good guy.
He'll be a great guy.
Good guy.
But I mean, I don't know.
So, give me my little cookie.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact. Helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Got an email from a gentleman said you made him laugh with the toothbrush still in your mouth when you walked downstairs. He said one day he was, I don't know how this happens, he was taking out the trash at home and then realized that he was bringing it into the office.
Yeah, moments like that. Where it's just, I mean,
well, you don't really think about things.
You're not even paying attention, yeah.
Big news in our house yesterday, by the way.
Okay.
We got a new refrigerator.
Well, you can afford one now because Sherry won the
big news,
the pool.
Jazz hands.
Yeah. So we got a new fridge. It's nice. You can knock on it and the light goes on. You can see the beverages on the right hand side.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
Okay. Take a sip of water.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Grasso
is better than me.
No, of course not. No. It's ridiculous. He said some things on the show while you were gone.
Okay.
There were some negative
accusations.
Things, some accusations that have infiltrated the minds of some people.
So you guys think that Sherry had a scheme to cheat?
I don't. So I defend you.
I've been running this pool for 20-something years. She's never won a dollar.
No.
Now she happens to win it.
RJ might think it.
Uh-huh.
And there are some other people that have some concerns.
RJ, did I not tell you weeks ago? My boys were laughing at her picks to start the tournament. Weeks ago, I said, how about this? Sherry has Duke go to the Final Four. Like, I told you that weeks ago.
Here is the indisputable evidence.
Uh-huh.
After two weeks...
For or against?
Well, I'll let you decide. And here's why I'm on the fence about the outcome of this pool. After 2 weeks, I was in the lead. And I was tied with Sherry.
Right.
And Sherry won.
Who'd you have winning the whole thing?
I forget.
Was it the team that won?
No.
Who would you have the team that won playing in the finals? Was it the team that made the finals?
I don't think so.
No. How many of the Final Fours did you have?
Here's my point, though.
Uh-huh.
Do I know that Sherry had those? I don't know. She may have had my bracket. We don't know.
She didn't.
We'll never know.
She didn't. She had UConn over Purdue in the finals.
Or is that what you'd like me to believe?
That's the truth.
Oh, I see.
We'll never know.
Listen.
And that, I think, was Gross's point.
Next year, what I'm going to do is send you a photocopy.
Just do what we asked you to do.
Online?
Yes.
All right, fine. Next
so much
year.
Easier for you.
Next year online.
Yeah, be online. That way you can focus on the comments, which aren't nice at all.
What do you mean?
I mean, he compared you to...
to the Three Stooges.
Well, you know, it's three you guys
it's
played.
Fair. It was fair. I actually got a chuckle out of that.
I mean, the three of them can't
you
split
You didn't
up.
Know better.
What?
You stunk in the pool, too.
Yeah.
I was better than you. Way better than RJ. RJ, I mean, you want to talk about...
Of the four of us, RJ came in last.
It was awful.
I was in first after
Greatest
2 weekends.
You know anything about college basketball.
Listen, I took a lot of swings. They paid off early through 2 weekends, and then they nosedived.
Ray took St. Raymond's to go to the Final Four.
I don't think they made the tournament.
Exactly. And you still lost to them.
I did. I lost to a lot of people.
You lost to almost all the people.
But you know what? People will remember. They'll talk about those first 2 weekends for a long time.
About you leading at that moment?
Yeah.
There was a child that almost won. Like a legitimate 8-year-old child. Had Purdue beaten UConn, a child won the pool.
Look at
the money.
You promoting children gambling.
I'm not promoting anything.
And one of your comments, somebody that finished like third, you were like, pretty good, .. I have no idea who you are.
No idea who that person was. No idea.
That's because you let people bring their friends. Hey, if you have someone that's interested,
right.
Send the email.
Like, I'll send the email inviting everyone, and then people bring their friends, and they tell their friends. It's like that old shampoo commercial. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, I'd love to join the pool.
Now everyone's using it.
That's right.
Nice.
So, yeah, we had well over 100 people, and Sherry won, which is very nice. But I didn't.
And now you have a fancy new beautiful refrigerator.
Beautiful fridge.
That lights up.
Yeah. The fridge was, in fact, planned to be ordered well before.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's nice, though. So it's great. Because... well, what do you think a 17-year-old is going to say about a new fridge?
Nothing.
So Sherry's all, she's like, Ben, did you see the new fridge? What do you think of it? His answer, that's fine.
Right. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
No.
She's like, well, in this middle section, we can make this a freezer or a fridge. Yes. Like, we can adjust the temperature in the middle section. Either way, he's like, okay.
Yeah, it's those little things as you get older that you get excited about. Got a new toaster the other day. Very excited.
But because when you're older, those are exciting things. When you're 17, it's school, baseball, girls, driving.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because they don't want to know how everything got into that beautiful new fridge.
Right.
But they just want to take things out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this food's delicious. Yeah, we just cooked it over there.
Yeah,
he
has no interest in any of
that. I got a new stand mixer, too, which is nice.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know what that is.
A stand mixer.
A stand?
Stand mixer.
Oh, okay. So like an upright mixer?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
That's where Cassie does all her bunting.
Bunting?
Bunting, cakes, you name it.
So runners on first and second, nobody out, you call in Cassie.
Bunting.
She gets the bunt down.
Oh, her bunt's delicious.
Is that right?
Oh.
That's nice. RJ, you ever had any of Cassie's bunt?
I have not.
No?
I have not.
That doesn't shock me. I'll bring
Do you like bunt?
I would partake.
Mm-hmm.
You like big bunts?
And I cannot lie.
Well, I see what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, well, that's what you were doing.
Me?
Yes.
No,
you.
I was asking about the bunt.
No, you weren't. Stop.
Big bunt specifically.
Sicko.
Sicko. Speaking of sicko, the DNR pregame party, it's back. The show is heading out to Publicans. That's in Manhasset. RJ, help me along here. Where's Manhasset?
It's on Long Island.
Thursday, May. When's that date?
The second.
That's right. Then we're riding what mode of transportation?
The LIRR.
Yeah, to
City Field.
That's right. For the what number annual pregame party?
It'd be the second.
That's right. Ahead of who's playing in that game?
That'd be the Mets and the Cubs.
That's right. Before going into the game, at what time?
Well, we're going into the game, you told me yesterday, I think at 12:55.
That's right.
But it starts at 1:00.
No, that's too late.
You're so good. And then we'll be sitting together in section
129.
Again, that's Thursday, May the
2nd.
At
Pelican. Publicans. Publicans.
and you know what he's doing.
And there it goes.
You knew that's what he was trying to do.
What was I trying to
wait
do?
Wait for me to slip off.
Yes. You're trying to pepper him with questions quickly so he would screw
no,
up.
No, I was trying to make it a little more engaging, no. A little more personal.
You're right.
Yeah, I didn't realize it.
You know, I started reading something about the standings in the West. I was reading about the Pelicans.
Uh-huh.
I meant to say Publicans.
So meet us at Pelicans.
No,
Manhasset.
Don't go to Pelicans. I'm not sure that place
then
exists.
Then right over to Yankee Stadium. We'll see you all there.
No, don't go to Pelicans.
Where's
no.
Bill Erpis when you need him?
That's right. Well, Bill Erpis, you think anybody dresses as Bill Erpis?
I don't think so.
No, I don't.
No.
I don't you know what it's
so.
Like in my house? The Wild West.
Yeah, Alex is coming. Alex is coming.
He likes the fridge, though.
Of course he likes the fridge. Oh, he doesn't like the fridge.
Well, Ben didn't care. Look at this fridge.
That's because
I can see what drinks I'm going to get before I get them.
Ben's busy hitting fungos. He's focused on baseball.
Yeah, all baseball. Let's get back to the Yankees. We'll go to Earl in Brooklyn. Hi, Earl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning.
Hi, Earl. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, Dave. What's up, Rick? Hey, Dave, I don't see, you know, the Yankees got Soto to hit home runs, to run, to produce runs.
Right.
Not to walk.
Oh, come
Judge
on.
But again, and another thing, there's no way Sherry wins that pool. RJ, he has to go online, Rick. We don't know what he did back there.
I trust him. Listen, I trust him.
And even if you don't trust me.
There are some people that don't.
There's no one more trustworthy than my wife. Like the most trustworthy
right,
person.
Right, to have the temptation of George Clooney, and she says,
My wife is very much trustworthy. But come on, Dave. You got to go online so everybody can see what's going on.
I agree. I wanted to go online, and there was some hesitations from people saying you always send out the personal emails and everything. Because once we go online, emails now go away. There's no reason
Dave,
for the
I
email.
Listen to you
no,
every
emails,
morning.
No, you're going to do commentary.
You're a stand-up guy, Dave. I listen to you every morning faithfully.
So you know, Earl, then you know that I would never, ever cheat. Ever.
I don't know. RJ was in the lead, and now he's lost. I don't know.
RJ's picks sucked, Earl.
No, Earl brings up some great picks.
No, they sucked.
Nope.
He took like Louisiana Tech to win the whole thing. His picks were embarrassing. He made a point to, whatever you do, don't allow me to take Purdue to go anywhere near the Final Four. That was a quote from RJ on the air.
Earl, call anytime.
Hey, Rick.
Great points.
Hey, Rick, and your white bun cakes are good.
Delicious.
I had a couple.
Oh. Unbelievable. Yeah. See what you've done?
Sorry.
You see what you've done?
But Earl, you call and you're terrific. Your point originally is a bad point. Sitting there telling us that Soto needs to swing the bat where you pass the baton to Aaron Judge is a bad take, Earl.
Not at all, Dave.
Oh.
Why? What did you bring Soto in to do? Produce runs.
Not yeah, right, produce runs. Right, but that's not who he is, man. Like, this is what you're signing up for. This is a guy that's got better command of the strike zone maybe than anyone in Major League Baseball. One of his great strengths is his on-base percentage. Knowing that you have, you know, Aaron Judge, who I get, I mean, is struggling behind you, you're not going to go out of your way to try to swing at pitches that you know you can't do anything with. So, I mean...
That's the end of Earl, I guess.
I could understand if, like Dave mentioned earlier, if it's, you know, Judge hits before Soto, they'd already taken Stanton out for a pitch runner, and he's saying to himself, okay, doesn't look great behind me. You know, let's maybe expand the zone a little bit, try to do some
which
damage
I don't
here.
Love anyway.
No, I don't like it either, but I mean, I guess you could make the argument for that if you wanted to.
Right. There's more of an argument to be made for that than there is for this. I mean, if I'm a Yankees fan and Soto goes up to the plate and he walks and now I have the tying run on base, I would take that every with Judge coming up. I mean, I would sign for that every single day of the week. I can't believe that people are of the mindset of, well, he let us down because he has to swing. So unless he hits a home run. So it's either a home run, ties the game, or he passes the baton. He passed the baton. It's a huge win. Huge win in that situation. But people have this mindset, no, he's got to swing. I think it's a horrendous take.
Yeah, or I mean, or you decide now I want to expand the strike zone, swing at a pitch that you know you can't really do anything with, but you swing at it anyway because I'm going to put, you know, this pressure on myself. You know, Aaron Judge is struggling. They brought me in here to hit home runs and drive in runs, so I swing at a bad pitch and ground out in the inning.
Right. And then you know what Earl in Brooklyn calls today? How could you expand the strike zone? Why did you try to be the hero? No. If I told you that coming up next was, you know, the catcher, Trevino, fine. You know what? You want to expand a little bit. I still don't love it, but fine. But in that situation, with Judge on deck, and I get it, he's been scuffling, but still, Aaron Judge in that spot against a reliever that's throwing a lot of pitches.
Knowing that you have to pitch to him, too.
Right. I mean, I for the life of me, I can't even believe that this is a take that's going on around there.
No, I'm surprised, too. I mean, of all the players right now that you want to...
Last year, you would have signed anything to have Judge up with the bases loaded. I mean, how many times have we sat here and said Judge is unequivocally a top five player in all of baseball? Now it's, well, Aaron Judge, he's got to be the hero, the savior? No, he did what he should have done.
Well, he was the best hitter in baseball. I mean, the only reason why he wasn't the best player is because he didn't hit and pitch. I mean, that's why it was Ohtani. Right? I mean, that was what separated them.
Right.
Is that Ohtani can hit and pitch.
Right. He's a unicorn.
Right. Judge, I mean, as far as offensively, Judge was, I mean, right there is the best in baseball.
Right.
And he's off to a slow start. Maybe some of this is due to the fact that he dealt with the the abdominal injury
right,
in spring
training.
Right,
didn't get to take a full spring training, and maybe he's just kind of getting his feet under him start. Right now. That's just weird. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. And when you stop on by, what do you say?
Hello!
That's right. Let's go to Luke in the car. Hi, Luke. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I agree 100% with both of you. I was at the game last night, by the way. Was at the game. It was amazing. I mean, obviously, we wanted to win, but the energy in the ninth inning when Soto was at the plate, people were screaming, including me, walk, take a walk, because Aaron Judge is behind them. So anyone who's saying to come in here, he's got to hit home runs, no. We love the fact that Soto gets on base. I agree, yeah, you got maybe the pinch hitter behind you, fine, different story, but people were excited that Aaron Judge was up at the plate. Obviously, we wanted a home run, but it's such a bad take, and who's ever making this has no idea about how baseball works. Absolutely awful take. I agree with you guys. Thank you for making that point.
Well, I'm glad to hear, thanks to the call, that the bulk of people at Yankee Stadium were like, oh, come on, Soto.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people looking for anything to be critical of, I just don't. It's like to sit there and have the thought that you would know better than Juan Soto. When you watch him, I mean, all we've talked about in the first 12 games, we'll discount this one just because of the, you know, what we're talking about. First 12 games was, have you ever, because you get to watch him now every single day, as opposed to just highlights of him, that has more command of an at-bat than Juan Soto. Like, I mean, it's like he knows what you're trying to do, lays off your best pitch, kind of shakes his head like, okay, all right, I saw that. Good pitch, I saw that. Like, no one has a better command or more confidence in the batter's box than Juan Soto. Doesn't look overwhelmed, intimidated, ever.
And had a great at-bat prior.
You don't think going into that at-bat, he's thinking to himself, if I hit a home run here, I tie this game up? And if they give me the opportunity to do that, I'm going to take advantage of that. Like, he knows which pitches he can do damage with. It's not like this is not like Daniel Vogelback. That's like, just swing the freaking bat, would you please?
Right. Got a nasty email from Matt H. He says, so because people disagree with you about Soto, their takes are bad, not yours. That's why everyone hates you. You're a fat bleep and you suck.
I'm the fat second thought of
no,
the
your
station.
Take is that
my take is the right take.
No, well,
it's the right take.
Right. I agree with you. But it doesn't mean it's a great take. I happen to think it's a good take.
But it's the only take.
But I think your opinion is that their opinion stinks, which is fine because it's your opinion.
I think that if you believe that Soto let you down by not swinging the bat, that is a horrendous opinion. An embarrassing opinion, to be honest with you.
I think if you are a fan that believes that you have a better idea of what to do at the plate than Juan Soto, and what his intention was. His intention was, hey, I'm going to make sure I walk here.
No.
I'm going to approach this bat like I approach every other bat.
If I get a pitch, that's fine.
And if I get a pitch I know I can do damage
then on, I'll hammer it.
Then I'm going to hammer it. Just like he did in the eighth.
Well, he crushed that ball in the eighth.
Right. So, I mean,
I love when Volpe's running the base. He's like, get the helmet off.
Get it off.
Get this thing off.
I don't need it. See, that would be the other thing that I would ask you. I know you envision long-term Anthony Volpe being your leadoff hitter, because the skill set makes perfect sense.
Did I got a couple tweets. Did Boone say last night that LeMahieu is going to go back into the leadoff spot after the game?
See, this is why I brought it up.
Yeah.
I don't want this Anthony Volpe's now bouncing around the lineup.
To be an experiment?
No, it wasn't like, hey, Anthony Volpe's got off to a great start, right? We wanted to make sure that we kind of eased him in, but we all recognize that his future as the leadoff hitter. So we feel like he is, you know, with Gleyber struggling, we feel like he deserves to be in the spot. It's, no, Gleyber Torres was pressing, so we want to put Anthony Volpe up there. And it doesn't feel like to stay up there.
Yeah.
I would just ask the question, is that necessarily something that Juan Soto wants or Aaron Judge wants with him bouncing around the bases? How much stealing are you going to do with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge behind him? Do you want to risk get him, you know, if he leads off an inning and now...
I kind of like Volpe in the fifth spot.
I just like Anthony Volpe running amok.
Yeah, well, he's a real threat on the bases. He's terrific. Ken in Connecticut. Hi, Ken. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, boys. Dave, it's a phenomenal take. The entire point of that Soto at bat is just to reduce a negative outcome. You have Judge behind you. I'm full agreement with you. Rock on. Let's go, Yankees.
There you go. So I'm glad to think that most people, I couldn't believe it when I heard it last night.
The intention is, there's two outs. We're down three runs.
Right.
The intention is don't make an out to end the inning.
That's right. Any at-bat you have that doesn't end the game is a huge win for us right there in that moment. That's it.
Yes. Would I like to be the guy that hits the three-run home run to tie the game up? I would love that.
Of course. That would be better than anything.
If given the opportunity to do that, I would love it.
Right.
But I'm not going to sacrifice this at-bat to try to do something that I'm not capable
of. The fact that people had a thought that went through their mind of, ugh, that's a bad at-bat. When the guy now passes the baton, bases loaded for one of the great players in the sport is in my opinion, a hideous take.
I'm not even joking to you. This is a question I got. It was my first concussion. It was in Montreal. Dead serious. This was a question.
You know, I'm getting yelled at for breaking on time from John and everything.
He's going on vacation.
All right.
So, game up in Montreal. Puck comes into our zone. Guy's going to get a breakaway. Puck gets, I don't know, a couple feet over the blue line. I can tell right now I can beat this guy to the puck. I dive out, poke check it. Guy, kind of on purpose, I think, knees me in the head. Night-night. I'm out.
Right? Okay.
Go do all the tests and everything, come back. I don't know if it was the day after or whatever it was. Get asked the question by a reporter. This is a dead serious question. I'll never forget it the day I die. He goes, why would you come out and poke check that puck? I was like, well, because I could get to it and I didn't want the guy to have a breakaway. He goes, you realize that was a fourth liner and you could have saved the breakaway. I was like, yeah, that's in that moment.
So you succeeded.
I succeeded.
And it's still giving you a hard time.
Right, I'm like, in that moment, yeah, that's right. So rather than eliminate the breakaway,
right,
because he's a fourth liner.
You're supposed to process, okay, who's coming on the breakaway? Fourth liner, I'll stay in my net.
As if that matters, though.
Oh, my God.
Guy plays in the NHL.
And you succeeded.
In the breakaway.
Now, if he walks in, you know, he walks around you, walks
scored,
in,
right.
Score. Okay, fine. Critique all you want. But you succeeded. Yeah, it's very weird stuff. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. I know people are lining up to get involved in the Soto conversation. We will get back there, so hang on the line, I promise. But the great Mel Kiper Jr. next, 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.